Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast. This is episode 123.
Yes.
123. And we're going to do a Q&A episode. So we put a questions box on. We've not got as many questions as we used to based on us being slack and not posting as much content. So we need to get the engagement back up. So
we also need some of our like loyal people, like Will Bertolini, like Josh Campbell. Where's the questions, bro? You guys are supposed to watch every week.
How do you know that I've not got loads from them?
You might have, I don't know.
No, I haven't.
Oh, have you not? No. Yeah, cheers. Cheers, guys.
Butcher's Wet Dream.
Yeah.
Pretty loyal.
Yeah, he's a pretty loyal guy. Maca Morris, he used to be loyal. I don't think he watches anymore.
Sacked us off. Tim.
Huh?
Coach
yeah,
no,
yeah, I think that's actually quite good. Cool. Yeah, that is cool. Very cool.
Maca, let us know if you're watching.
Yeah, if not, mate, we're really disappointed.
Yeah. So you've got to follow us forever, as long as this is on.
Right, so first question, mate. What are you going for? Do you want me to go?
How many have you got?
Four.
I've got five.
Okay.
Although one of mine, Train with Spence. Well, sorry, mate, we have answered it, and it is coming out.
Multiple times.
It will be out by now, so... You've asked us again about your garage gym. We do apologise. We answered it once on the episode that we ended up losing.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure we answered it again at some point.
Yeah.
We answered it last week or last time we did an episode, yeah. And that is coming out soon once we've scheduled it.
Do you reckon
it,
he's just waiting? If he's still asking, like, Spence, why are you not just
buying
his kit?
He's got it all in his basket. Yeah, he's like, wait for that podcast.
Wait for that podcast, guys.
We have answered that question, mate. So just so you know.
Right. So be Kelsey Fitness, Ben Kelsey.
He's loyal.
He is loyal. Right, he's put question marks. Lifting goals, I'm guessing for off-season. Like, what's your lifting goals, mate? You got any ones that spring to mind?
Based on what I'm doing at the minute, like, obviously movements potentially could change.
Yeah.
But I'd like to beat what I previously had, peak off-season, at much lighter body weights. So that's like 220 for six on a deadlift. I'd like to be doing that as a stiff leg. At much less body weight, maybe 200 pounds rather than 230 pounds.
Mm.
That'd be cool. I'd like to pull six plates. That'd be good. I only got up to 232 and a half last time, which is what, five and a little bit. So six plate pull would be cool. Bent row that I've got in at the minute, four plate row, that'd be cool. Even like a three plate that's not that yeah buddy and a four plate very yeah buddy, that'd be good. So yeah, a three plate bent over row or a three plate pendlay and a four plate yeah buddy.
Yeah.
Pressing wise, like I want to be back to doing three plates on the Smith press soon at multiple angles. I think the most I've had on a Smith press is like three plates anyway.
Yeah.
And that's even with a reverse band, like maybe three and a bit. I've never had like three and a half plates on a press.
Yeah.
So three and a half plates on a press would be good. Flat bench 140 for 10 would be cool to tick off.
Yeah,
I think the best I've had on that is four.
Lockdown?
No, that was when we trained at Premier that time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When we ran it for a week.
Yeah.
And then lower body wise, I'd like to have, if we were to be running the hack squat, I'd like to get up to like six plates on that without a band. But I don't think I'll do that in terms of, I'm not saying the load I won't do, I'm saying based on like trying to prevent injury and this left quad issue / left side of my body, I don't think it's a good idea to do that. So I'd probably be looking instead at like the squat press and getting like 15 plates on the squat press with really good range would be cool. What else? What other big movements have we got in at the minute?
You can kind of name them all.
It's pretty much a leg movement, a pressing movement, and a hip hinge movement and a rowing movement.
What about bicep curl, bro? I want to curl the 25s.
I'd like to curl the 50s.
I'd like to hammer curl the 40s.
Yeah, I could probably do that now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what other movements, what are the main movements that we've got in there? I'm not going to set targets on like...
100 rep bodyweight dip.
Yeah, that'd be good. Two fair dips. Like if I can continue doing them without getting injured, because they always tend to cause issues in my scap. Like even the other day when after I'd done them, my left side was a bit like iffy. So yeah, if I can get back to like the best I've ever had on dips, I think the best I've ever done on dips is like 70 kilos. So to beat that would be good. Get that up to 80 would be pretty cool. But mainly for me, it would be like getting back to peak strength and above at lighter body weights.
Yeah.
Like if I can be doing things that I've never done before at 200 pounds, 210, 220, that's awesome. because last time I was doing things that I've never done before at 230 plus. So that would be the main thing for me.
Yeah. No, for me, I think it's one of those, like, because obviously I'm deeper into an off season, so like mine I'm not gonna say like more realistic, but I kind of know roughly what I'll get. So I reckon I'll pull 8 plates, like 340 for a single. That'd be doable. I'd like to get 300 for 10. I think that'd be quite cool. I feel like I need more of a bit. I just need more time on like 300 plus kilos because I've done 260 for 12.
You need more time doing like 320. Yeah,
I need just to get better at just doing heavy sets constantly. But they're so, like, I think it's one of those where even though the intensity is similar, if we're training, let's say me and Finn do 4 to 5 reps on any load, the intensity is going to be the same. But the actual impact CNS wise and just how your body feels, especially as you get stronger, yeah, it's one thing that.
I think, but also that's just based on where my training's at this body weight. Like, we think when we were both peak off season, when we were running deadlifts on those Saturdays at Evo, like, load wise you were still doing not loads more, you were doing a good amount more, but then, like, they were
it's is one of those where, like, I realistically can't hinge like every week now. Like, I know I can't. I can do it just about. I can probably deadlift 3 times a month. That's probably my sweet spot. Every like 7
you
to 10
every
days.
10 days, and you can probably row every 5, like, every 5 days you're doing a row, every 5 days you're doing
I definitely think as you get stronger, like, because I've obviously been like this, I've gone through the sense of progression. It's like the thought of doing like, oh yeah, well, I just need to spend time doing 320 and 330. But the problem is that will, like, to do that in a short period of time is like 8 weeks to be able to get, because I won't be able to do it constantly. So it's like being able to pick and choose my battles. So yeah, 340 for a single, 300 for 10. I'd like to get 260 for 20. I think that'd be quite cool. So 6 plates for 20, which I don't think I'd be that far off if I was to do that again. I reckon like 14
to 15. Did you get, what did you do in Dragons there?
308 for 4 and then 180 for 26. So I want 220 for like 20 plus. I think it's one of those, after it gets a certain point, like, it's just challenged, like, stamina wise and CV wise. So that'd be the hinge. Row, I want like a clean set on like 200. My 4 plate yesterday was really good. I was happy with that after doing the deads before. I'd like to do 5 plates, which I think will be doable. I think there's nothing stopping me there. Shoulder press wise, like, the pressing's so awkward because if my shoulder, I'm the strongest I've been at pressing, but my horizontal pressing's shit because my AC joints / just left delt gets irritated if I have to stabilize and brace against the load. Next week. So that, but I've been seeing him
before you go.
Yeah, but I've been seeing him for like, I've been going to physio. It's been an issue, like, it's reoccurring all year pretty much. My left pec and left delt, like, literally switch in turns where my left pec gets irritated and then that shifts pressure onto my, like, front delt. My front delt then gets irritated, that then shifts pressure onto my pec, and it's just constant. So
we
again,
this all the time though, like, I think if I almost think from the outside looking in, especially because, like, we post our training pretty much every session.
Yeah.
I think people think that we're just always fine.
Oh,
you know,
no
it's
chance.
Like, it's almost, it's the opposite. Yeah. Like, the amount of times that I have to say to clients who are like, I don't want to say moaning about injuries, but constantly like analysing injuries constantly, every single day they'll message me like, this is feeling a bit better today. It's like, you just have to learn to live with it and work around it. Like, again, like, I've had the same kind of issue down this left side for however long.
Yeah.
Like, throughout the prep, I just literally switched off from it because I was like, it's just going to annoy me.
Yeah.
It's just going to stress me out. What benefit is it going to have me moaning about it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I moaned about my left scap or my left hip probably for the last like 12 weeks of the prep because I was like, that's just going to waste my mental energy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to benefit from it at all.
Yeah.
Only recently have I actually started realizing it again because I was like, I just shut off from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wasn't that I wasn't experiencing it. It was that I was almost like, every time I thought about it, I was like, don't let that stress you out. Don't let it get you down. Like, whereas now I'm like, well, that's annoying. About, like, I probably need to get on top of that.
No, think about like for example, my knee. Like, I literally 3 days out from the first show, like, pretty much what Aaron said, like, tore my meniscus pretty badly and like popped it out of place to the point where like was swollen like for like 2 weeks, couldn't train legs at all. And I remember saying to you, like, I better be able to do cardio. Obviously, I could do cardio. I could do cardio. And I was like, oh, sound, I feel good. But I was worried, but I was like, I managed to do cardio. I couldn't really train legs for a brief period of time.
You could have, like, easily been like,
oh my God,
I can't compete. Like,
yeah, it's like, it is what it is. Like, injuries happen. You get better at dealing with them. When we were younger, if we had an injury like 5 years ago, I bet it would be like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Where now it's like, I can't remember like the last time I trained. The only thing I can do pulling work just about without any major pain. But like, you put me on any leg movement, my knee's pretty battered. Both are mostly my right. You put me on any pressing movement, I have to be careful, but that's part of it. So
I think when you get to the point where you're pretty strong, you have to be careful on everything anyway.
Yeah,
like, I think part of that is why as well, during a prep, maybe towards the end, if you know, you maybe loading down slightly compared to like peak off season, you're probably not aggravating those injuries as much.
No.
So you probably don't experience them as much.
Yeah. So then when your training gets back to it, you're like, oh shit, I'm actually pretty battered. Yeah, which definitely is the case.
I am chronically injured everywhere. Yeah, I was just training like a pussy.
Yeah, just train like a pussy. I'm actually disabled. So yeah, to summarize before like we go on this question for too long, dumbbell press, I'd like to do like 75s to 80s above head. I think I could probably, I feel I could get them up, I could press them. I got the 70s for 10. So yeah, any gym do 75 to 80s that we know.
Well done.
Yeah, that would be a good shout. Might do have to do a push session there. Other than that, like I've done 15 plates on the Cybex squat press, but I think you can just about fit 16 on there. So stack that at Rotherham. That'd be good. Slash Premier or be modified when they get that sorted, which will be good. And then otherwise, yeah, like the same sort of stuff, just a little bit better. Like you, I post all my training, so just have a look and you just add a bit of weight and that'll be
the
goal.
One thing that I think is quite good as well, like just something that people often maybe don't realize is that, like, I think as your
it just popped up. I'll put my do not disturb on, mate.
Low power mode. You don't need to set targets for every single lift. Like,
no,
we're not chasing numbers on a leg extension.
No,
we're not chasing numbers.
I haven't logbooked on an isolation leg movement. Yeah, for
we're not,
the last year.
We're not chasing numbers on a rear delt fly or a pec fly or even single arm pull downs, lateral raises. Like,
no.
I'm not chasing numbers on that. Like, I will still log to an extent based on the time in the session. If it's an earlier movement in the session, I'll log it. If it's a later one where it's kind of maybe more metabolite focused, I won't really log it. I'll just focus on making sure I'm getting a good connection and taking it as close to failure as I can.
I said this to a client literally this morning.
Yeah.
Like, I could type on my phone, like, off-season 2019 log and see everything I did with tempos and everything. Yeah. Where now it's like, if you were to see my log, I have like 3 movements per session that I actually log. Yeah. The rest, it's like, I know where I got and I'm going to get better, but there's no strive.
Also, I think,
other than internal feel,
I think enjoyment is a big aspect of that. And I think a lot of people get, they do get too married to the logbook on every single exercise. So like, I'll get clients be like, oh mate, I've not progressed that ab crunch. And it's like, it's their last movement at the end of a leg day. And it's like, are you doing it? Are you training hard? Are you getting a good connection? If the answer is yes to all those, then don't really mind if you've not progressed it. Like, it'd be nice if you could and if you were progressing it, but it's also not essential. Like, make sure you're training hard. I think what people mistake it for is that if they don't log your book in, they just stop training hard.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I don't log this movement, so I'll just
I don't know
half
what to get.
It. Or they just don't even do it. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not what we mean. Like, but again, like yesterday is a good example. Like, I logged the, I didn't log the pullover, you know, the cuff pullover that I did.
Yeah, yeah. The lat finder.
Yeah, the lat finder. I'm not logging the lat finder. Yeah. I'm just connecting with my lats. I then logged my deadlifts. I logged my row. I logged my Cybex row. And then the single arm row and with the single arm row, I logged the load. I didn't log the reps because I just did 2 higher rep sets and took it to failure and got a good connection. And then the Terrors pull down, the upper back pull down, and the rear delts.
No, it was just drop sets and high rep work.
I didn't log the loads. I just wrote in my log that I'd done them. You know, I knew that I was that basically I've ticked them off. I think people do get a little bit obsessed with having to progress every single set of every single session. It's like, make sure you are with your big compound movements. Make sure that everything's feeling good. Make sure that everything's feeling like, you know, you're actually able to connect well with where you're trying to connect with. But don't be like stressing, oh mate, I didn't progress the leg extension. It's like, the reason that you see people throwing weight about on a leg extension, it looks like horrendous.
Yeah.
And they've not got very good legs is probably because they're just trying to chase numbers.
Right, I think that's a good answer to that.
So that's why we didn't give you loads of answers, loads of extra answers for that question. LB Fit. Pure gym, 10 mins from home. Bodybuilding gym with great kit, 45 mins away. Worth the trip. I have a pure gym.
Yeah.
Literally 30 seconds walk from my house. I'm not even joking. It is across the road. If I was to run, I could be there in 20 seconds. Yeah. And I don't train there. So that's your answer.
Yeah.
But that being said,
on a one-off
basis, I don't like the premise of people going, I can't train at Pure. The atmosphere is so bad.
Yeah. Anybody can train at Pure.
I could easily train there if I had to. Like, if it was like in lockdown, for example, like I still worked at Pure Gym and I was like really hoping that they'd let me train there. That, imagine how good that would have been, having a Pure Gym in lockdown. Like, so you got to remember the situation. Think where we were at a couple of years ago when we had nothing.
Be grateful, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true though.
Yeah, it is true. We've got asked, I put up a last minute question one to see if we got any more in. So if you had to choose three guys from top 10 Open Olympia to get in your football team, who?
Three guys from the top 10 Olympia. Yeah. Samson up front. Just knock it up to him.
Plus target man.
Yeah.
Nah, I think he'd be £300.
Regan. I feel like Regan's probably decent at football.
Yeah.
Just reckon, looks like he could play football.
Yeah. Did it say top 10 open? Oh, fuck, it said open. I was thinking if it's like 212 or someone, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll just get like Sean. I reckon he'd probably be like, he'd have a good touch.
Just put him in.
Four foot 11.
Are we on about five aside?
It said, yeah, your football team. So, like, okay. Your football. So, Liverpool, United?
Oh, right.
I don't know. Your football team.
What is it?
Literally, this is, if you had to choose three guys from top 10 Open Olympia to get in your football team, who?
Right, so okay, let's imagine we're putting them in that. I'll put them in United, okay. You can put them in Liverpool. So, where are we struggling? United. Everywhere.
Yeah. Yours is easier than mine. Left back. Anyone left footed, you reckon? Because we've got Simicast currently in there. Regan's, he's a good looking dude, good social media. Good,
I feel like Regan would be a decent player.
Regan, like, I don't know, I reckon maybe defensive mid for like.
I'd take him over Casemiro at the minute.
Yeah. I'm going to go Regan left back. Regan
I'm going to put him in centre defensive mid.
Yeah.
I'm going to put. I mean, I'm not that against Onana, but yeah. I feel like. Imagine having like Samson in goal.
Yeah.
Nothing's getting past him.
Nothing's getting past Samson. So
I have Samson in goal, and yeah. I feel like I've got to have Derek or Halley because they
actually won.
No, I'll have Derek.
Mate, imagine you know that super sub, you know that guy Holland. That won the pro card the other day, that Nexilla guy that people call him. Imagine him in goal, he'd block everything.
Yeah. What was his body weight?
Oh mate,
he seems against that other guy.
Yeah, I saw him in the overall lineup. Yeah. He's a fucking embarrassing the other guy, like scary. Stupid, absolutely stupid.
He looks like a dinosaur though.
Yeah,
like,
he does. Yeah, yeah.
That big, and his neck's like that.
Yeah, he just looks like he's got like armor plates on. It's stupid. Like really, really freaky. So yeah. Right, do you want to go for your one, mate?
Most overrated. So this is from Cam, one of my clients. Most overrated and underrated exercise. Thank you for the question, mate.
Most overrated coaches. I thought I was going to say that. Yeah. Oh, overrated coaches. Like, where do we begin?
I feel like we've definitely answered this before, but I can't remember what we said. So we'll answer it again. So most overrated exercise. I would say,
I think we
said deadlifts.
Nah, I'm gonna say.
I think we did say deadlifts last time, based on like stimulus to fatigue. I think that's what we said. But that doesn't mean that we don't like them.
I'm gonna come in with a different shout. I think under and overrated. I think underrated. I'm gonna go for like a dumbbell lateral raise, and overrated like a cuff line lateral raise. Because everyone's like, oh, you have to do a cuff line lateral raise.
Yeah.
And in reality, and everyone hates a dumbbell lateral raise. Like, you never see. Yeah, you never see people do them now. Like, it's an exercise that's just gone.
Single arm or like a T-bar lateral row. I really like.
T-bar row.
T-bar row is underrated, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, as well, it's going to be very individual dependent. Like, seeing exercises under or overrated.
It's all personal.
Depends massively on you, what you enjoy, what feels good for you. What you have available in your gym. Like one person might say, like, oh, fucking hell, like I just absolutely love a buddy row or a bent over row.
Yeah.
Someone else might be like, I absolutely hate it. I can't stay tight. It just feels like I'm throwing weight around. I get no connection. I'd much rather do a cable row or a chest supported row.
Yeah,
cool. That's fine.
Crack on.
That's what we'll do. Yeah. Like, we can do that. You know, look at the movement pattern.
Yeah.
Don't look at the exercise. Train movement patterns. Don't just worry about training certain exercises.
Yeah. No, that's a good answer.
Is there an underrated or overrated movement pattern? What do people neglect? I think people neglect hip extension.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
I think a lot of people will say that they don't want to hinge or deadlift because of injury. That's fine, but then they just don't do an alternative.
But it's also a hard movement. Yeah. It's a hard like movement pattern.
But then they won't do a hip extension.
Yeah.
Or they won't do any form of hip extension. It's like surely you can perform hip extension in some form.
Yeah.
Whether it be a reverse hyperextension or a normal 45-degree hyperextension, like whatever it may be. Yeah. Like I think you could.
I think everyone's had like maybe from coaches. Like I've had clients that are like, oh, I got injured when I deadlifted when I was younger. Can't hinge.
So I can't do it.
It's like let's try.
Think how many times that, like I was battered from hip hinge.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually I'm not saying I'm good at it strength wise, but now I'm actually good at bracing and I can stay tight.
Yeah.
I'm sound. I can do it consistently.
Yeah.
It's a skill. It's like any other movement.
Yeah, right. Kind of similar to that. Fuck, marry, kill, bench, squat, deadlift.
Very similar.
Yeah, very similar. So what would you fuck out of them if you could? If you could, if your dick worked.
You kind of fuck the bar, don't you?
Yeah.
On a deadlift.
Yeah.
Squat, get out.
Yeah, I kill squat. Yeah. Fuck squat.
Kill squat, I would. So basically it's like one time.
Yeah, one time or like marry. Like, I'd prefer to marry a deadlift, but I'd be fucked. I would get fucked. Yeah. By the deadlift, I would be battered.
But you would deadlift. Like in terms of what you'd get out of it. Yeah. I would marry the deadlift so I can do it more often. I'd fuck the bench once because that's what pretty much what we do anyway.
Yeah,
do
we always be year, yeah we put flat bench in and then we're like, how's our pecs feeling the next day? Yeah. Not the best.
And then it's not even our pecs. It's like shoulder. It's just the joint. It's like where the pec
ties into the
joint. Yeah. It's just it's not good.
Yeah,
And I'd get rid of the squat. Can't remember the last time I did a barbell back squat.
Would have been like back in pure or like lockdown. Oh, it would have been lockdown, I reckon.
Do you remember? I was alright.
Yeah, you were alright. I was awful. We did like not sissy. We did just like box squats,
heel elevated.
Do you remember the box squats on the Mastermate?
On the Mastermate.
Yeah. We had a box that was called the Mastermate box.
Sit down onto a Mastermate.
Yeah. So we both sat down, squatted
onto a Mastermate.
Yeah, I held the Mastermate, really? And it was fantastic. Great times then.
The box. It was like a toolbox that said Mastermate on it.
So
that's what that's about.
Yeah. No one would find that funny. No one will get everyone like,
not
what
funny,
the fuck?
Really,
right.
What's up? The thing's gone off because I put it on low power. Don't show everyone your password.
Oh no, guys, it's straight down the middle. Anyone steals my phone, it's the exact same. You can't turn it off.
Okay.
Don't just leave it. Right, last one from me, from the ones that we got sent through. Glad to have you guys back. Should elbows travel backwards during arm training? Bit generic, isn't it?
Like, depends what he's talking about. What exercise are you talking about?
So if we're doing like a behind the body cable curl, your elbow's going to ideally want to be behind you. But then if you're doing like a overhead tricep, you're going to be trying to like. It really depends on the exercise.
I guess he's maybe saying like, let's say,
should there be elbow travel?
Let's imagine he's doing a dumbbell, just a standing dumbbell curl.
Yeah.
Like very generic. If you're swinging that arm behind your body, you're probably creating a lot of momentum and inertia to get the weight up.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say in that instance, no. But if the exercise is, let's say, trying to bias the bicep in a lengthened position, then yes, because you'd want to keep the arm almost behind the body throughout.
Yeah.
Depends on the exercise.
I think this is a classic case of just do what feels best.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah, like if it's your first bicep movement of the session, I think you might, and it's a heavy set, have a little bit of elbow movement. I don't think you should ever be like,
it
my elbows need
to
stay
fixed. Depends on the exercise. If you're doing a preacher curl, then no, because that'd be very strange if you're able to get through the pad. If you're doing if you're doing a standing dumbbell curl, then you might have the smallest amount, but I wouldn't say so much that it's coming behind your body.
No.
But then it depends.
I've never thought to myself on any movement other than like a cable curl, I'm like with my elbow behind the body, like a facing away one. I've never thought elbow behind the body, Reece, or
Yeah, it maybe give us specific exercises. If they'd have said on this exercise or these exercises, then that'd have been easier to answer. Ethan Pedeme, how long should an off-season post-comp last before competing again? It's a good question.
Depends on where your goals are. Depends on, let's say, if you're needing to grow, you need to commit a good amount of time to actually growing. So, like, if you're small and you've lost due to size, you need to get bigger. So that's probably going to take a good amount of time.
All right, mate. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
So just direct it straight at me.
Yeah, Finn, you need to grow. You need at least a few years off. It also depends if you're natural or enhanced or likewise genetically where you're at from a training standpoint. Like, for example, let's say if you were a very good teen, you could eat and you're making the step up to juniors. Okay, you could probably compete in a year or two and still be pretty good. If you were a good junior, but then you want to do damage in like an open adult lineup, you probably will need more than a year or two.
Yeah, if you weren't a good junior.
Yeah, if you weren't a good junior. It's all relative to where things are. So I would say,
your goals.
Yeah, exactly. And I would also say as well, like, you've got to realise when you're dieting, you're probably not going to be making the most progress, especially as a natural, when it comes to actual, like, physique development. And a lot of people get into the kind of crux of just doing constant, like, okay, I'm going to compete this year, I'm going to have 6 months off, compete again. And there's your body's
the same.
Yeah, you look very similar. The people that make big improvements year on year on year are usually genetic freaks, either, or they're utilising PEDs. or they're top level pros who are already have that level of muscle mass and it's refinement and it's not where they need to add 20 pounds of stage weight, let's say improvements, like say show like prep on prep.
I think for a lot of people that will be watching or listening to this, they're probably early years of competing or maybe haven't competed yet, maybe they're between like 16 and 25, late 20s, something like that. Probably the answer is like you just need more time away from competing, like for me for example, like I probably won't compete again until 2026, which is like for most people they go, what, that's ages away, but like for me and you go that makes sense. Like for most of my clients that competed this year, their next plan is like 2026, maybe 2025 at the earliest, which is still two seasons away. That basically means you miss a season and you go again, like, and that's
not that long.
That's still not that long. Like one season off goes like that. Like looking back now, the time that I had between 2020 and 2023 went so quickly. Like that's mental, thinking that I had two full seasons off. Didn't feel like it. Like it still flew by. So yeah, just give yourself time. Like especially if you've got goals of competing to be competitive and do well. Take time. Like if you've got goals of just competing to see how you get on, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You could compete year in, year out, but you're probably not going to see the results and the progress that you want to see. But also some people just enjoy it and they live for it, and that's all that they have to focus on year in, year out. And if they're okay with not making big strides forward every year, but they really enjoy it and it sort of keeps them mentally sane, cool. Like that's fine. Do what you want to do. There's nothing wrong with that. You just have to accept you're probably not going to make that much progress, or you're not going to look that much different.
Yeah, that's a good.
But yeah, there's no definitive time frame. I don't. You'd almost say the longer the better.
Yeah, in every situation, then.
Yeah.
Really?
Hmm? The longer the better.
The longer the better. Yeah, as said by both our girlfriends constantly. Thanks.
Why won't it even work? The harder the better. What is wrong with it?
Slapping it. What about the girth? What about the girth?
Just disgusted looking at it. Last one. Butcher's wet dream. Thanks for the question, mate. Best ways to improve recovery when dealing with a demanding job and low food. Speaking from experience, because he's in the trenches.
On like 350 carb.
Just coming out of his pre-prep diet.
How much
looking, food is looking very good and moaning constantly about how he's looking.
What's his food at? Like, is he...
I can't tell you for definite, mate. I can have a look. His food did not get low.
No, it's always those comments. Sorry, Butcher's Wet Dream. But like these comments are always from people.
Butcher's Wet Dream, like that's his real name.
Butcher's Wet Dream. Yeah, sorry, mate. Sorry, Matt? Yeah, sorry, Matt. But like Comrade said to me once, he was like, he was eating like 300 carbs on rest days and he was like 600 on train days. He was like, oh, mate, I'm doing 14,000 steps and like I'm eating 300 carbs. That's what people prep on. And I'm like, Comrade, you've gone through a prep.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
So the lowest his food got to was 150 carb, 50 fat, 1,850 calories.
Okay.
So not high, but wasn't like Jesus.
Yeah.
325 carbs on training days.
Okay.
2,500 calories.
Yeah.
Wasn't doing his cardio.
Skipping cardio.
Too fair. Like he was doing it maybe like he was doing one session a week, 30 minutes. 30 minutes cardio a week, averaging 13,000 steps, 12,000.
Yeah. How the hell did he get in good condition with his last coach? Fucking hell. Especially his coach. His coach was.
I tweet things at the end.
Oh, mate, battery's going to go. We need to wrap this up.
Yeah. Battery's going to die, guys.
Yeah. What was the actual question?
No, we can put another battery in.
Can we?
Yeah.
I need to go in like 4 minutes.
Right. Best drive me quick then.
Yeah.
Best ways to improve recovery when dealing with a demanding job and low food.
Routine, structure, place the food around where you actually need it. Make sure you're sleeping properly. Sleep. Yeah.
Keep your stress low, which is something that Matt can definitely improve upon.
Yeah.
Stop stressing about your physique and overanalyzing your physique. Focus on just enjoying the day-to-day life. Be present. Enjoy your training.
That's a good answer. Yeah, what I said as well. Yeah. So, Matt, no excuses now. Stop skipping cardio so your food doesn't have to get so low.
Yeah.
And then when you do your cardio, you'll eat more and then you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Jobs are good. Coaching slots available.
In terms of when you're on your feet at work, just ask for a chair.
Yeah.
Or just eat loads of mushrooms so you get to go home from work. So that's what he did. He ate so many mushrooms that his digestion wasn't great, so he got to go home from work. I was like, perfect. Just eat loads of mushrooms, get a day off.
Right, that's that question, guys. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed. Thanks as always, and back to it. Well, next one will be probably after our holiday, so that'll be a little post-New York and all that sort of stuff, and then post-Morocco. I was going to say Monaco.
Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah. So that'll be that. Right. Thanks so much, guys. See you later. Bye-bye.